Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast from The Sober Club. I'm Genuinely Grace, and this is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. We'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment. And there's inspiration from quitlet authors, experts, and sober heroes. Hi, and welcome to the podcast. This is Janie Lee Grace. I hope you're not feeling too frantic in the lead up to Christmas. Oh, wow. Really noticing it this year. really noticing it. I really feel as though I've lost a week and I should have at least another week before Christmas. But having said that, all's good and all is relatively calm. At least it's calmer than it was in other years, you know, when I was drinking. And I'm going to give you a few tips in case you are coming up to your first Christmas sober. I'm just going to give you a few tips there to sort of encourage you, if you like, that, you know, it can be absolutely, well, it is absolutely brilliant. In fact, I think you will look back, if this is your first sober Christmas, you'll look back and you'll just be absolutely amazed that you totally rocked it. It is, as we know, all about mindset. And on that happy note, you may have seen that I put some stuff on Instagram, actually, and on Facebook this week, about the piece in the Daily Mail about Susanna Reid. Now, if you don't know, Susanna is the presenter of Good Morning Britain. And it's been well documented over the last sort of year and a half that Susanna ditched the booze. I did Good Morning Britain, I think it was in, was it April or May this year? I was on there talking about there was a debate about whether parents should drink in front of the kids, that kind of idea. And at that point, you know, Susanna was sort of calling herself a mindful drinker. She was reluctantly sober, might have been my words. But back then, I thought she was, you know, relatively new to it all. And I thought, oh, she's any day now, hopefully, she's going to catch sight of just how amazing sobriety is. You know, my phrase, sobriety rocks. Who knew? Well, it transpires she doesn't know because the headline in the Mail, which is her article, her column, I beg your pardon, was, "Since I gave up drink, I fear fun Susanna's gone into hibernation." So I read this piece and I just, honestly, I couldn't believe it. I was really fed up, actually, because she talks about how it's Piers Morgan's Christmas bash coming up. So I remember how much fun I used to have. And then she, you know, discusses all the fun and the bubbles and then says, "I'm disqualified from any such fun. The Christmas Grinch in the corner with a glass of sparkling water firmly clasped in hand." And then she says, "I never used to feel this way. Etc. etc." She says, I don't have regrets about giving up the booze a little over a year ago. I did it for my health and I'm glad I made the sacrifice." Oh, the language there. Glad I made the sacrifice. Susanna, it is not a sacrifice. You're not giving anything up. You're only gaining. She goes on to talk about the fact that her skin has got better, she's lost weight, she feels pious, fantastic, slimmer. Anxiety, the anxiety you feel after a big night, she says here, which used to plague me, became a distant memory. But then she just bizarrely says, "But the appeal has started to wear thin. Last week was my birthday, how I longed for my former alcohol-soaked nights at the Groucho Club in London." She says, "One of my friends, she's in denial about my abstinence. And to be honest, I don't blame her. I worry that fun Susanna has gone into hibernation." I mean, I could go on. I could read you more of this article. But honestly, it's so depressing and just such a wasted opportunity for somebody in the public eye to just embrace sobriety and not keep reinforcing this message that alcohol is you know, the social glue that sticks everything together, the celebrations, the commiserations. She's reinforcing this idea that alcohol is fun and glamorous. Alcohol, Susanna, is just a poison. And if you were having fun, you were having fun anyway, despite the alcohol. Not because of it. We know that alcohol is a depressant. Of course your anxiety is cleared up because it was alcohol that was causing it. And how you can long for that and see it as sacrificing something, it's just, Well, it's really sad. And I feel for Susanna. I'm not trying to be holier than thou. Everyone's at a different stage. And I feel for her. I just so wish that she had been able to use some of her incredible talents and energy and profile towards finding out about how she could change her mindset so that she embraces this and so that she recognises the positivity. It's just bizarre. Anyways, there you go. My take on it, just in case you haven't heard me say this before, is that the early stages of sobriety are really hard. Of course they're really hard. You're changing a habit, potentially a habit of a lifetime, literally, if you started drinking when you're a teenager. You're rediscovering all kinds of things about yourself. And in the first few weeks, it's a case of brain chemicals all over the shop, not necessarily sleeping great. The weight doesn't always fall off instantly. You know, I'm not painting the best picture here, but it's just the reality. Anything hard is worth doing, obviously, depending on how much you're drinking. You're probably not going to feel great, but you know what? It's perfectly doable. There's lots you can do to put back those good brain chemicals and to make yourself feel better. And in the Sober Club, we have just a mass of amazing experts who are giving us fantastic tips for nutrition and all kinds of stuff that can really, really, really help you. And there's loads of information out there. So you can get through that bit. And when you've got through that really tough bit, it's like your life, your whole world opens up to you. Alcohol steals your joy. I've said that before. And being sober makes you brave. And Susanna hasn't grasped that yet. Bless her heart. Let's hope she does. Meanwhile, for those of you who have or who are in the process and you're going into this open-minded and sober curious and willing to accept that there is another life, because trust me, there really is. Christmas is coming and it can be really stressful. I know that. And, you know, Susanna is right in that she points out that it's a difficult time when everyone else around you is fully expecting you to be behaving in exactly the same way as they are. So, you know, other people may be in denial about your abstinence, but that's their thing. It's not yours. And you have to remember that this is your priority. This is absolutely non-negotiable. So the top tips are plan, and then practice some self-care. Plan where you're going, who you're going with, how you're getting home, and what you're going to drink. They're the basics. I know it sounds tremendously obvious, but often we don't. We just kind of rock up to some party hoping that we won't be persuaded into having a drink when we've decided we don't want one. Well, it doesn't really work that way. You need to ring the venue, find out what drinks they've got. If they don't have alcohol-free drinks, really great alcohol-free drinks that you want to drink, then take your own, whether that be kombucha or alcohol-free beer or sparkling stuff or a spirit, whatever it is. Someone in the Sober Club said she rang ahead to a venue and said she was alcohol-free, but she wanted to have a nice grown-up drink with her colleague. She asked if they had any of the gin alternatives. There's many great botanicals on the market. They said no, but feel free to bring your own and please just purchase the tonics. Everybody's happy. So plan ahead, plan exactly what you're going to drink, plan how you're going to get home. If you're driving, that's an easy one. Nobody will challenge you about not drinking, but you know, it isn't about them anyway. If you're getting a taxi, make sure you got it booked. The reality is you may want to leave early. You may well want to leave the party early because you haven't got the same, you know, kind of false staying power that you had when you were drinking, and you certainly won't suffer fools as lightly. So if there's somebody who's actually really boring and you don't want to talk to them, you'll be brave enough, I hope, to leave. And then when you're doing stuff at home, when you're hosting parties or meals or whatever it is at home, the same applies. Make sure you've got what you want to drink and really stock up on this. Check out the many, many great alcohol-free drinks. If you're doing your shopping at Sainsbury's, your online shop, check out the show notes because there's a code there to get some free Dash sparkling water with wonky lemons. It's really nice. It's a great alternative to sugary drinks. So when you're, you know, on the healthy stuff, grab yourself some of that with your shopping. There's a special code there. If you go to the show notes, I think the minimum spend is £25. And you need to set up an account, but that's really well worth doing. Sainsbury's have got an amazing choice of alcohol-free drinks too. So you can grab some of those while you're there. So plan ahead and also make sure you've got nice food, you know, treats that you want. One of the things about this is this feeling of deprivation. And clearly, Susanna has still got this feeling of being deprived. She's deprived from having the drink, which in her mind equates to the fun that everyone else is having. And when those thoughts come in, because they may well do in the early stages, make sure that you've got something to look after your inner toddler. The little inner you that's going, well, I wanted to have that. I want a Bailey's with my mince pie and cream or whatever it is. No, you don't. You've made your decision that you don't. But you still want something that feels nice and feels grown up. So actually treat yourself to something that actually is a treat. And that means it's not going to be tremendously bad for you. Or even if it is, whatever, but just not the alcohol. I have written a blog post. If you look at soberclub.com, there's a blog post called Christmas Cheats and Sober Treats. And I talk there about my suggestion that we reframe this word treat altogether, because we all use it way too much. I'm guilty of it. But it's been ingrained in us for so long that we think of junk food and sugar and alcohol as a treat. And none of those things are treats. You know, the masses of biscuits and pies and Christmas pudding and cake and goodness knows what, they aren't really treats. They aren't any good for us. They aren't self-care. But nevertheless, we're going to have some. Of course we are. So let's just reframe that, you know, change the language and call them cheats. And yes, you can cheat, but just don't cheat, you know, every single day, every meal. Choose your cheats. But remember your actual treat. So treat yourself to something that you do like. And if that is dark chocolate, well, great, you know, go for it. So that's the planning for Christmas. The other really important bit of this planning is to say no, to set boundaries and say no. If there's something you don't want to go to, don't go. It's as simple as that. Just don't go. And don't host people if you don't want to. You know, really, you're gaining confidence. You'll start to get a lot much more resilient. And of course, put some self-care in place for you and have something celebratory, you know, for yourself to look forward to. Plan something for the next day, or plan something that you really enjoy. And instead of meeting friends for drinks like you usually would over Christmas and New Year, instead plan something else. Do something else that's fun, whatever that is. Go to an escape room, or go ice skating or bowling, or it doesn't matter, whatever. Of course, for New Year, I'm planning to be at Morning Gloryville. Don't know about you. Morning Gloryville in London is on New Year's Day. So we're going to be interviewing Neil. So I'll bring you more information about that. But you might want to check that out. I'm also going to tell you about the Mindful Drinking Festival and what I'm doing there. There's still some tickets available for Champneys, and another retreat has just been put up for tickets as well. But first, I didn't even preempt this. I thought it would be lovely to interview some Sober Club members, to get some stories from people who have done this hard thing and to see where they're at. And so it's been brilliant to have Wendy Laban as a member of the Sober Club. She's so inspirational. And again, no rock bottom moment. I think it's really good to mix up these interviews that I do on the podcast. You know, I've interviewed people who have had absolute rock bottom moments, ended up in jail, you know, really were forced to change their drinking habits. And then there are many others who are grey area drinkers, and nobody else would ever know there was a problem, but they knew they had a problem. And that was exactly my situation. And there are millions of us. And for so many people, we didn't even realise that this spectrum existed. So Wendy is part of that, and she's going to share her story.
And I love being able to interview Sober Club members and absolutely inspirational sober heroes. Welcome, Wendy.
Oh, thank you so much. It's lovely to be here.
You're in Cornwall, aren't you?
Jealous. I'm in Devon.
Oh, I'm still jealous. Tell us a little bit about you, because you've got a fascinating story. We must absolutely announce that you have five children. I'm so impressed.
Seven.
Oh, no, seven. That's right. Seven. That's exactly right. I knew I was really, really impressed, because I've got four and everyone thinks that's a huge amount of children. But that's right. You've got seven children. Oh, my goodness. How on earth do you manage to hold it all together?
Oh, organization is everything. I've learned this. Yeah, you just have to write it all down, look ahead, plan ahead, and it all seems to come together. It's okay.
Amazing. Tell us a little bit about how you were with the drink then, before things turned around.
Well, I mean, when I first started out as a teenager, I wasn't even interested in it. It didn't taste nice to me. I didn't like how I felt when I drank it. So I was a very moderate drinker right through my 20s, in fact. And it was when my first marriage started to break down that, on reflection, I started to use alcohol to try and numb my reality, really, and trying to sort of quieten the voices in my head that were trying to frighten me and tell me that things might not be okay for everyone. And so that was when my intake started to jump up a little.
Yeah.
Yes. And once I was through that phase and I was into a more peaceful and happier place, I was sort of left with the aftermath of drinking more regularly and more frequently. And I carried on drinking. I wasn't using it to numb my reality, but I carried on drinking more frequently.
So it kind of became more of a habit, really.
It did. It became more of a habit.
Was this linked to you, your parenting? Because, I mean, we often talk a lot, don't we, about the kind of mummy culture.
Yes.
Was that part of it for you? I mean, I know for me, it definitely ramped up when my kids were young, partly because I kind of thought of it as my grown-up time, and partly because it was what every other mum was doing, for God's sake, you know? And
absolutely. Absolutely. At that point, when I only had three children, I didn't find that I was using alcohol to treat myself and to sort of, congratulate myself on getting through a busy day. My new husband and I went on to have four more boys in very close succession. Mm. I ended up at one point with obviously seven children, but four of them were under six.
Wow.
And the overwhelm was all-consuming. Yeah. It was really bad. The anxiety was awful. And that's when I started to self-medicate again. Yeah. I didn't realise I was at the time. But looking back, I was using alcohol, again, to try and numb my reality, to try and quieten the voices that were telling me I wasn't working hard enough and I wasn't getting everything done. Mm. And I used it as my self-care. I'd be in the kitchen at 6 o'clock cooking a family meal, and amidst the whirlwind of noise and chaos was my glass of gin and tonic, which was my me time. I'm standing still in the middle of all that chaos, and it felt like I was treating myself. I had no idea that I really truly wasn't.
Yeah, it's exactly the same for me, exactly the same. So when did you start to realize, okay, things have got to change, and how did you go about that?
I would say that the process began with my husband very gently nudging me with his comments. It was, darling, that's quite a lot of gin you've got through this week. I mean, always whilst hugging me and telling me that he loved me, but, you know, darling, that's quite a few bottles of wine that we're putting in the recycling. And yeah. I was quite defensive to start with. But darling, it's for me. It's the only treat I've got. I don't get to go out as much anymore. And, you know, it's just something for me to feel like I've earned this. Mm. But then what happened is I also started developing recurrent cystitis, which I'd never had, and it was very uncomfortable. Mm. And the doctor advised me that caffeine and alcohol were the key culprits.
Wow.
As bladder irritants, and that if I could possibly cut down or cut out those two things, I would help myself. Mm. I skipped out of the surgery thinking, how hard can this be? How hard can it be to moderate? Let's try this. And it was the most miserable 6 or 8 weeks of my life, because on the days I couldn't drink, I felt in denial. Mm. And on the days I could drink, I went a little bit crazy because I'd been holding off for 5 days.
Yeah.
And then when I was back to the Monday, because I was trying not to drink during the week, I was back to withdrawal, headaches, anxiety, and the whole thing fed into itself. And it was the most miserable, miserable time. My self-loathing really, really deepened. Mm. And eventually I Googled, what's wrong with me? Why can't I moderate? Mm. And these quitlet titles landed in my lap, and kind of the rest is history.
Mm. So that was when, rather like me, you for the first time, you sort of realised, okay, there are other people out there who are also
absolutely
struggling with this. Because I genuinely didn't know. It's amazing, isn't it?
It was the most comforting thing in the world to read that I wasn't to blame, that I was
exactly
involved with something addictive. And those books, yeah. I advise anybody who is considering changing their relationship with alcohol to truly immerse themselves in quitlet, really and truly.
So how did you get started then? What did you do? Did you just sort of decide, okay, that's it, and then you stopped, or did you get any support apart from immersing yourself in the books?
Yeah. Well, I started off by reading without cutting out the alcohol. I continued on moderating, not for very long, because it didn't take me long to realize that there were these wonderful benefits and these wonderful reasons to take a tactical break.
Yeah.
Quoting Andy Ramage. And so I became excited to see whether this would happen to me. Would I also benefit in this way? Was it true that my sleep would improve? Was it true that my skin would clear up? My hair would be even more shiny. Was it true? So I went into a period of abstinence, which was a challenge I set myself of a month. Mm-hmm. I knew that 3 months would be preferable, but it was too much for my head to comprehend. So yeah. I went into a sort of a challenge of a month, but I went into it with a mindset of, sounds a bit crazy, but of excitement. You know, no, I really wanted to see if this would happen to me. And as soon as I was waking up in the mornings, minus the self-loathing, that was a motivating force in its own right.
Yeah.
It was wonderful.
I think we can't underestimate, just to pause you there for a moment, I think we can't underestimate what a difference it makes to how you feel about yourself, you know, as you
say. Absolutely.
It's massive. And, you know, you mentioned all those other benefits, and I think that's, you know, you've really nailed it. I love the way you've described that, because this is what I'm trying to kind of get across to people all the time, is that however hard it is at the beginning, because it is hard at the beginning, the key is to catch sight of what might be. And as you Absolutely. Say, you know, I wonder if those benefits will happen for me. Because you can go through a phase where you think it doesn't feel like that at all. You feel absolutely crap, worse than you felt before. You know, sleep is terrible. All the fabulous things that you're hoping for have not necessarily kicked in yet. So it's that keeping sight of, will that happen? And yes. I thought you described that really well.
Thank you. And I think that's where the books came in, that they were telling me what I would be able to access.
What to look forward to.
Yes. And the communities that I joined online, the closed Facebook groups of people that had been there and could reassure all of us that, don't worry, keep going. Don't worry. You're just recovering from almost a lifetime of pouring this stuff into your system, and your body needs a little bit of a chance to recalibrate.
Exactly. It's a really good way of putting it. So how many months has it been for you now?
It's 20.
Wow. Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. A long time. I didn't realize it was that long. Amazing. Yeah. Well done you. That's absolutely fantastic. I mean, there'll be too many to mention, but just, just fly through some of the benefits then that you've found.
Oh gosh, there really are. It's such a long list. And the list I could add to every single day. Mm. I suppose on a slightly more trivial level, it's things like strong fingernails and shiny hair. My skin has genuinely cleared up. I didn't suffer from dreadful skin, but it's really, really clear. Sleep is incredible. I wake up earlier than I used to, but I wake up so refreshed and so ready for my day. That's been wonderful. More energy, far more energy. I've always had lots of energy, but so I was absolutely blown away by
I was the same. I always used to think I was exactly so. I used to think of myself as the kind of person that had masses of energy. It's like, wow, what, you know, what's going on? It's
exactly
amazing. And what about with the kids then? Because I'm guessing that you've found that you are able to be much more present in a different kind of way with kids.
Yeah. And with the children, I feel that I am much more aware of the benefit of my not drinking than perhaps they are, because I wasn't, you know, they weren't coming home from school and not sure where they would find me.
I didn't have
a headline grabbing rock bottom at all. So it's more what I can discern as a benefit. Things like, you know, genuinely wanting to spend all the time with them and read the stories and not clock watching to get back downstairs to the fridge to pour another glass perhaps. And just being genuinely interested in whatever it is they want to do and having the energy to commit to it.
Absolutely.
But I think for me, probably the most life-changing benefit has been the shift in my self-respect and my self-worth. And that's come, I think, from smashing a goal that's hard, you know, swimming against the tide and doing something that you believe in to be the right thing when many, many other people don't appear to be doing the same thing. And then the sense of achievement, but also, you know, just when you have that self-worth and you carry that in your heart every day, you you can move mountains.
Yeah.
You can absolutely move mountains. Mm. What can't I do, kind of?
Exactly. Exactly. And on that note, then, in terms of, you know, you mentioned the sort of the culture, the drinking culture. How was that for you? How did you navigate relationships and family and all of that when you were no longer drinking?
Sure. I didn't keep it a secret because I was able to latch my non-drinking challenge onto my cystitis. So I was able in the early days.
Blame it on that, yeah.
I mean, it wasn't a lie in that respect, but it was you know, something that was very convenient for me to bring up. Mm. And how I navigated, well, I'm very much a stay-at-home mum, so I wasn't having to sort out how I was going to survive the pub crawls and the wine bars because they weren't on my radar anyway. I just made a point of organizing my own different socializing.
Yeah, exactly.
So instead of trying to cope with a pre-existing way of doing things, I just created a new framework for it.
Yeah.
And started to bring in lots more daytime dates and cinema trips and things that were still engaging with others, but that didn't create any form of an obstacle for me with regard to the drinking.
Sure.
And then after a period of time, as I'm sure you can relate to, the benefits of not drinking just eclipse what anyone else might think. Mm, and wherever exactly. You may be standing, you can be standing in the middle of a bar and it doesn't throw you.
It doesn't
at
bother
all.
You. No, exactly. Because no. You have that confidence and authenticity. That's right.
Yes, yes.
And then and finally then, what about you know, there'll be other people listening who have children, definitely not as many. but for all of us with kids, once we've kind of made this decision, of course the next thought is, okay, well, how are we gonna navigate the whole drinking, the kids drinking thing? So, you know, I mean, when yours get to that age, what will you say? What will you do? What are your views around that? Because I still find that hard, and I don't know what the answer is, because we sure as hell can't just sort of say, right, I drank, it was terrible, don't you ever do that, because that ain't gonna work, is it?
No.
So, I mean, obviously we can lead by example, but what's your thinking around that?
So I've already had to come up against that one. I have two boys that are 19 and 21.
Oh, right.
And I've had to come up against it. And the way I've approached it is, and I've had my tears over this, you just want to shield them from it all.
Yes,
and you don't want them to
absolutely.
Get sucked into the vortex of mindless drinking that we all got sucked into.
Yeah.
So the way I've approached it is, firstly, like you have just said, modelling best practice around alcohol in the house. They're not, you know, I'm not narrating what I'm doing each day, but they're watching me not drink in response to a bad day.
Yes,
or not drink for any reason at all. So there's that. And I've spoken to them at length about what alcohol is, how it affects us.
Yeah.
And I've asked them to go into their drinking careers with their eyes wide open, so that they may possibly drink mindfully or not at all, given the conversations we've had.
Yeah, yeah.
And I also think, I suppose sadly, that we have to go there to come back sometimes. I think you perhaps only reach the appreciation of the possible benefit of taking a break if you've reached some kind of desperate point.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that is true. I mean, the good news, of course, as we read a lot, is that younger people are, many of them are drinking less. So that's fantastic news. And there's definitely, you know, a movement there for younger people and for millennials. So that's all good. But you're absolutely right. We can, you know, maybe that they have to go through some of this themselves.
Yes, yes.
God forbid.
I know.
I mean, the only thing that I've sometimes said I regret. I hate using that word regret, because one bit of me, you know, I want to be able to sing that song, no regrets. But actually, I do regret not doing this sooner, you know, when my kids were younger. I do regret that. So I don't know what we do with that. It just is the way it is, isn't it? But
it is.
But how amazing that people like you can share your story, and you know, those with younger kids can maybe grasp sight of that. So it's brilliant that you're that you're doing this, that you're part of my sober club, because I love having people who are, you know, that little bit ahead, because when we get someone who's on day one, then you can pop up and say, well, I had a swim in the sea. Isn't that something you do quite a lot?
Yeah, I did.
Now, that's
today.
Impressive. That's very impressive. Because let's face it, that would be hard with a hangover, right?
Yeah. Oh, it's wonderful. And I think as well, one of the reasons I want to share my story is that I feel it's very relatable. I didn't have a dreadful rock bottom.
No, absolutely.
I'm your average mum on the school run. Probably I was drinking less than some of my friends are.
Yeah.
And I just want to not dictate how people should live, but just gently let them know.
Yeah,
that
absolutely.
This might be something they want to experiment with, just so that they know what it's like to not be drinking.
Exactly.
And then they can make an informed choice.
Totally. What you're doing, and what's lovely, is that you're reinforcing this question that I started off my TED talk with, really, which is essentially, the question shouldn't be, oh dear, I'm worried I might be drinking too much, or oh, what am I going to do about my problem, you know, my habit, my addiction, you know. The question should be, oh, I wonder if my life might be better without any alcohol at all.
Absolutely.
Because nobody ever says that to you, or certainly not in the past, because it's like, well, the normal thing is to drink. So the only way you would even consider not drinking is if you had a problem, in inverted commas.
Exactly.
So it's brilliant to spin it all on its head and say, well, it doesn't really matter how much you're drinking. It's got nothing to do with that. It's, would my life be better without it?
Exactly.
So, yeah, well done.
And of course, it totally is.
It totally is. So you and I are at similar times. I'm just a couple of months ahead of you. And a question I've asked a few people, actually, who've been sober for quite a while, is do you find that it's something that you continue, you know, it continues to be kind of at the forefront of your life? I find this question really interesting. Obviously, for me, I'm kind of working in this sector and I'm doing this podcast, and so it's, you know, it's all consuming for me. I think about it all of the time. But if you aren't working in that capacity, is it still as massive a thing? And do you think it will be in 4 years' time, 5 years' time, 6 years' time?
I'm not sure where I'll be in 4 or 6 years' time. What I can say is that I very rarely think about it in terms of getting a craving.
No, absolutely.
But I would say that, yes, my brain is all consumed with this whole sobriety.
It's almost
topic.
Like a gratitude, isn't it? It's like a constant gratitude.
Yes. Mm. And I'm totally interested in how can I help others wake up to the idea of trying some time without alcohol in their life.
I love it.
And that's what I'm really keen to try and achieve. I'm not quite sure how to achieve it at the moment. I think sharing my story and others can then take from that what they will, and maybe have a little at play and have a little experiment with life without the alcohol. Because what you said earlier is so true. We have this feeling in society, we're either absolutely fine,
absolutely,
or we're absolutely not fine. Mm. And there are so many of us that have been in that other 80% of
the spectrum, and the grey area and drinkers.
Yeah, and it is absolutely okay to say, I might just take a break. I might just see if my sleep improves. Yeah. I might just see if my anxiety goes away. I might just see if my rosacea goes away.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, amazing. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story. You've started here, so that's great.
Oh, thank you so much.
That's brilliant, and we really appreciate it. And if we head down to Devon, no doubt we'll see you swimming in the sea.
I'm going to get you in the sea, Janie. I'm going to get you into the sea.
I love walking by the sea. I love looking at the sea. I love the energy of the sea. But
Janie, you can do hard things.
Yeah, okay. I'll wave at you from the beach.
All right. I look forward to it.
Thank you so much, Wendy. It's absolutely pleasure to hear your story. Really appreciate it.
So inspirational. Thank you. So a reminder then that if you want to grab yourself some Dash sparkling water with wonky lemons, it really tastes great and there's no sugar or sweeteners, then go to the show notes and you'll need to set up an online order with Sainsbury's, which at this time of year is probably a sensible thing to do anyway. I think there's a couple of hundred to give away till 31st of December. So have a look at the show notes for the podcast and you'll find all the information that you need there. A reminder of the Mindful Drinking Festival. This is organised by Club Soda, of course, and it's on the 18th and 19th of January at the Truman Brewery in London, in East London. And there's a massive stuff going on. They've got lots of seminars and talks and interviews. And they've also got just about every incredible alcohol-free drink there for you to go along and sample and buy. They've got about 40 alcohol-free beers. I mean, it's incredible, isn't it? Just a few years ago, that would never have been the case. They've got alcohol-free wines. They've got botanicals. There's kombuchas. There's amazing soft drinks. There's just so much there. It's really going to be a fantastic occasion. Low and no alcohol drinks. It's free to attend. You may have to book in advance some of the sessions because they'll get very busy, but it is all free. Obviously, I would love it if you wanted to come and meet me and say hi and come to my session, which is on the Saturday at 1:30. It's called Self-Care in Sobriety. That's the same title as my Champneys retreat, but we're just going to do a talk there. I'm going to throw some tips and inspiration your way, I hope. And that's at 1:30 at the Truman Brewery on the Saturday. So please let me know if you come in. It'd be lovely to meet up. There's also going to be Club Soda organising some kind of a party, I think, in the early evening. So I'm going to encourage some Sober Club members to go to that. So it'd be fantastic to have some podcast listeners there as well. So keep in touch over that one. And then on the Sunday, if you can make it there on the Sunday, I think it's 11 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to be hosting a panel who are all talking about alcohol-free holidays and retreats. So obviously I'll be mentioning my retreats at Champneys and at Inner Guidance. And I know that We Love Lucid are going to be there. Lauren from We Love Lucid and a couple of other people I haven't met yet. And Sober Dave is on that panel. So really looking forward to discussing that as well. So if you can come for both days, that would be amazing. My main talk is 1:30 Saturday and I'm hosting a panel on Sunday morning. And then, as already mentioned, the weekend before that is my Champneys retreat, Self-Care in Sobriety. It's a very small group of people, but there's one or two spaces left. If you wanted to join us, if you want to actually have a treat, that really is a treat for the new year. If you've got any money to spare after Christmas or you can persuade someone to buy you a gift, it's on the 11th and 12th of January at Champneys in Tring. And the focus is all about self-care, beating cravings, optimum nutrition, how you reframe your mindset. It's absolutely perfect for you, whatever stage you're at. You might just be sober curious or just starting out, or you might have been sober for years. There'll be something for you. So book onto that and let me know if you have. And then there is also another retreat just opening up for tickets, which is in May, another one of my Sobriety Rocks retreat at Inner Guidance. But I'll tell you a bit more about that in the new year because it's probably too much to take on at the moment. If you are brand new to all of this and you're just kind of thinking, shall I do Dry January, shall I stop now, I don't know if I can do it, I've got a little free guide, 5 reasons to do an alcohol-free challenge, which just might encourage you never know. If you just go to thesoberclub.com, you'll see the little link there, 5 reasons to do an alcohol-free challenge. Make sure that you stay connected. Christmas can be a really tough time for some people. You know, I've been talking about parties and hosting meals and planning ahead, and there'll be some people listening who have got nothing going on at all, and it can be incredibly lonely. Please don't stay lonely and unconnected. There is so much support and help out there for you now, and it doesn't have to be a conventional route. If you are someone who goes to AA, there are AA meetings. I understand they even have them on Christmas Day, which is amazing. If you check out Alcohol Change UK, they have lots of support available. There are so many online communities out there, lots and lots of free help. So please do get yourself connected. Please stay connected, you know, with me on Instagram, on Facebook. If you want to join the Sober Club, of course, you're very welcome. It is a membership site with an exclusive Facebook group as part of that. But whatever you're going to be doing for Christmas, I hope you have a really peaceful time and also a fantastically happy new year. But I will, of course, bring you another podcast before then, because we're going to have Neil from Morning Gloryville, hopefully telling us about the special Morning Gloryville event on New Year's Day, which is a rocking way to bring in the new year. I'm also going to be interviewing Laura from Club Soda about the new book, How to Be a Mindful Drinker, that lots of members of the sober community have contributed to. And coming up as well, I've got an interview with the gals from Sober Experiment. That's going to be fun. And another Sober Club member, Darren Taylor. I'm going to be interviewing Darren as well. So look forward to speaking with you very soon. If I don't connect with you before, have yourself a fantastic sober Christmas and pat yourself on the back, because this thing is hard and you're doing it and you're rocking it. I'll see you after Christmas. Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast. I'm Jenny Lee Grace. Please go to thesoberclub.com, listen to more podcasts, read our blogs, enter our competitions, grab yourself a free PDF, Self-Care in Sobriety, and check out our online community,